Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello, everybody.
And also with us, special guest, Chris, from the World's Finest True Believers podcast.
Hey, Ron. Hey, Joe. Hey, everyone.
Hello.
So, how you guys doing?
Not too bad. I slept today, so that's always nice.
That's sleeping is good, yes. Yeah. It helps recover things.
I'm continuing to shelter in place, so there's that.
Smart. We are too, which is why Rod and I are now recording remotely instead of together like we were.
Yep. Yeah, it's really weird.
You'll get used to it.
Hopefully not.
Well,
yeah, no shit.
So today we are covering the Man of Steel Volume 1 miniseries that came out in 1986. This was a tale that I remember. I've read a few different times in the past. Haven't read it since about, I don't know, mid-2000s. So it was a treat to read this again. I know, Ron, this was your first time reading it.
Yep.
And then, Chris, what's your history with this book?
I've read it a few times. I definitely did not read it first run. I think I was quite small when it came out.
I think I was like three.
But it definitely was not my first introduction to Superman. So, but I can't even remember, but I know I've read it a few times. I'm got a very beat up copy because that's probably how many times I've read it. but yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah. I know you were also a few months or so back, you sent me the link to the John Byrne Superman omnibus. Did you ever end up picking that one up?
It has not come out yet.
But pre-ordering, I should say.
Yeah, I'm hoping with all Diamond shutting down everything. I don't know how that's going to be pushing things off, but I think they've now changed it from an omnibus to now a deluxe edition. So some of us are kind of like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that sucks. What?
It's not the respect you show John Byrne. And
no. This.
So we'll see. But right now, I think it's been relegated to a deluxe edition. So we'll
that
see.
That sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's still going to be awesome to have. Mm-hmm. But it still sucks.
Yeah. So it'll be volume one of whatever at this point. But no, definitely have pre-ordered it. But yeah, I heard that the other day that they've downgraded it.
Boo. But okay. Well, if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and get into the first issue here. But before we do that, I got to do my usual acknowledgments. Like I said, we're reading Man of Steel, Volume 1, Issues 1 through 6. I hate to have to say Volume 1 since they did come out with a second volume here recently with Bendis. That was good, but...
It's not this. It's not this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. anyway, it was published in 1986 by DC Comics. The writer is John Byrne, art by John Byrne. Inks were Dick Giordano, letters by John Costanza, and colors by Tom Zucco. And so let's go ahead and get into the issue. And we start out on the planet Krypton.
No way.
Yeah, this was so considering, Man of Steel, considering the comics nowadays, Man of Steel movie, sorry, and the comics nowadays and the origins that they have given Superman, seeing this was
odd.
Melancholy. Mm. There we go. That's the word. Because I remember this. Like, I remember, like I said, I read this a long time ago, and I remember these outfits mainly from the death of Superman and when the ghost of Jor-El came back and that whole thing. So, like, these outfits are very memorable to me. But the way that they were describing this, like, how Jor-El was talking about how the world's going to be destroyed, and we have to save our kid, our unborn child. It's one of those things where, like, you see the Man of Steel movie and he wasn't unborn. He was already born.
Well, even back in the Christopher Reeves movies, he was, you know, born before,
mm-hmm.
you know, which that's my Superman right there, because, you know, I was little kid when that came out. And well, actually, I wasn't born when they first came out, but
yeah, the first one was 77.
Yeah. Something like that. And then,
so even that, like, this takes place, this was published after that, and they still have the, they're still able to make this happen and be fine. I do like how Laura is put off by the shirtless Kansas man.
It's like, oh, these brutes,
these barbarians.
And by that, she means it actually got her a little excited and she didn't know what to do about it.
Maybe. I don't know.
Obviously they don't have sex.
Correct. Well, and then the Jor-El even says, like, the moment that I first laid eyes on you and was found out that our seeds were combined, or your seed was combined with mine, and we were going to have a offspring or whatever. They're basically saying that nothing is, the emotions have been taken out of it generations ago.
I mean, just talking about these seeds and these emotions, it's just like, oh my goodness. I mean,
yeah.
What's Warplay like on Krypton?
Well, that's where you
exchange, you know, your little personal profile that tells you your, you know, height, weight, your genetic combinations.
See, it's like Demolition Man, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking actually when I read this.
This is the second mention of that, because during the Miracle Man books, we had the mention of Demolition Man in the sex scene.
Yeah,
remember that?
That's right.
There was Miracle Man. When you listen to those episodes, Chris, they are coming out. Well, but they'll be out by the time this episode's come out. But
mm-hmm.
they're coming out currently. And wow. I mean, it's amazing, amazing story. But some of that stuff was just weird.
Yeah.
Have you ever read Miracle Man?
It's on my list. So not yet.
Honestly, I would move it up. It's actually a really good, it was a really good book.
Okay.
The history, I dove into the history behind it, and a lot of the history, which I do touch on in the episodes, were interesting, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
We get Krypton. Okay, so before Krypton blows up, there, Jor-El mentions that Krypton is getting ready to be destroyed. We have days, maybe even an hour. And I would say the chain of events happens within,
minutes.
10 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't get into the details that later on will be fleshed out about how this all came about.
Correct. But they are able to shoot the rocket off of the planet. And so Kal-El lives, the planet gets destroyed. There is something that gets attached to the back of his rocket. They focus on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's the end of the quote unquote prologue. And then we get into the chapter one, which is Clark Kent, you know, football star, high school, I'm assuming senior class, you know, just destroying this other team.
Basically single-handedly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did they say the score? I thought they did. The score was like astronomical.
It was Clark to zero.
Yeah, basically. but Jonathan Kent is watching on,
and he's pissed.
Yeah, he's disappointed.
And he should be.
And so he gets Clark, they go to leave, and he takes him to the farm or the field where they found him. I do like how Jonathan mentions that he had told Clark at a younger age to never go play in this field. He's like, no trespassing signs all around. And I put up the nastiest barbed wire fence I could find.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure no trespassing signs don't deter people and vandals.
No. See, this would have taken place back in what, like?
Well, this is 86. Well, the time is wibbly wobbly.
God damn it. back in that day, you know, they actually thought that shit worked, see? And but, no but trespassing back in that sign. Day it did. Exactly. A no trespassing sign back then was like, oh, you know, let's cool, let's not go there. Nowadays, no trespassing signs like, what the fuck are they hiding? Let's go check this shit out.
plus, this is the middle of Kansas, like.
So there's nothing exciting anyway. So they're probably just like, they're probably just like, oh, it's probably just like a bull in the field or something. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah. I just found it interesting. Like they just left it where they found him and just put a big like barn door over it saying, at least in other iterations of this, like, oh, we hid it underneath the barn. We dragged it back. We did that. It's like all these years, you didn't want to move it. All right.
Well, yeah. And I think it may have been, they just hadn't tried. Like they hadn't, other than posting the barn door over top of it, they had no intention of ever coming back. But you are correct. Like in Smallville, in Man of Steel, they've moved everything. Even in the cartoons, like they moved everything to the barn. Even in the James Gunn ripoff of the blind. No, wait, the horror movie. What was it called?
Oh,
one just came out here. There we go, Brightburn. It was moved to the barn. Like, come on. That was a good movie, by the way. Check that movie out. So then this is where we get the back to the comic here. This is where we get Jonathan telling the origin story of how they found Clark, in the rocket. And then they have
what a hideous fucking baby.
It's fine. He's bald. It's okay.
He looks, what was that?
A burp.
Oh, he looks like the baby from Spirited Away. The big fat baby.
Okay.
Anyways.
So they had been trying to have a kid for some time, and this was basically a blessing in disguise, because as soon as they get home, they're locked up in their house for 5 months because of the winter storm. And so when they came out on the other end, oh, look, we have a baby. And, you know, they're farmers. So obviously Jonathan Kent would have no issue delivering a baby, because he's delivered cows. He's delivered farm animals. You know,
he's been up in his wife's house before, you know.
Whatever. Anyway. all the friends were totally fine with it. As the years progressed, they noticed that he was just a little bit different. He gets run over by a bull and he's perfectly fine. He lifts the car up just to get a ball. He accidentally uses his x-ray vision, and then it gets flight. It was cool to see.
We just watched first seven seasons of Smallville in three pages.
It was the first like two seasons. after they have a little talk, Clark goes to just to check out the rocket and gets kind of lightheaded. And then it, again, focuses in on the little speck of whatever.
Some
on the
back weird green rock looking thing. We don't know what it is though.
Not yet.
Hmm.
So he takes him home and Martha comes out and they're like, you know, so you guys had a talk.
You told him? I told him. He told me.
oh, thank God he talked about the birds and the bees. Oh, no, that's not the talk you have? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wait a minute. Hopefully at 18 he's already had that talk.
Although, yeah, with Lana. Oh.
Honk, honk. But this is Clark, you know, saying that Dad, or you know, Paul had the right to be mad at me or to be disappointed with me. You know, I had all these gifts and I was using it for personal gain. You know, he with great power should come great. Wait a minute, copyright. but then he decides that he needs to leave. And so then he does. He leaves Smallville. I want to point out though that time is either the talk that he had with Clark took 6 months or either way, he didn't graduate. He's a high school dropout.
See, I got the idea that he dropped out. That's at least my impression was.
Yeah, that's what I thought also.
See, and that's But then I always remember him being like, well, especially in, what was it, the Superman movies, the Christopher Reeves one, the third one, I believe in particular, he goes back to his high school reunion, like his 10 or 15, 20 year high school reunion.
Oh, there's definitely no way one way or another. It just, they leave it too much to interpretation. I would like to think he finished high school to get a job as a reporter, but you know,
exactly.
Maybe he just got a good enough degree or diploma. I mean, you know,
Who knows? I don't know. But then we
Golden Hill High goes for high up on the market.
Apparently, which is, so we jump forward about seven years. Ma and Pa are just, well, Martha Kent is, you know, making a scrapbook. And then they happen upon Jonathan happens upon the page of Mysterious Superman Saves Space Plane. And he's like, well, I think everybody knows about our boy now. And before anything else can really happen, they hear a noise up in Clark's room and they go to investigate. And there Clark is sitting in the dark.
Real quick, I'm going to stop you because I wanted to point this out. Have you ever noticed how much his mom and dad look like each other?
That's John Bernhardt.
We can't unsee it.
No, we can't.
Okay, anyways, that's all I wanted to say. You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for the interruption.
Thanks for ruining Mom, Pa, Kent for me. Gosh. I was holding him up my entire life, and good Lord.
No. Pretty sure Bendis did that already. What?
Oh.
You don't get that joke, Ron. You don't read the comics.
I don't understand.
He's so innocent. So innocent.
He's in a good position because I'm feeding him the good stories. The stories from the past that actually make sense and will have relevance for 30 plus years. And not the stories that we're reading today, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Damn. Wow. I don't know who the writer on those stories is, but he just got kicked in the dick and he didn't even know it.
Oh, I'm not the only one doing that. Trust me on that one. Anyway. So then we get the classic tale of Superman saving the experimental space plane.
Supergirl and intro. What? From the TV show?
Yes.
I know I've said it before, but they like the Supergirl TV show literally took like all the Superman stories and was like, but what if he didn't have a dick?
But I mean, again, and I've said this to you, you know, in passing, Supergirl needed something and the Superman stories are there.
Supergirl does need something, but I'm afraid what would happen when it squeezes down and, you know, super strength and.
Anyway, I do want to point out what now, Ron, we live here in Fort Wayne.
Yes, that's correct.
Do you remember them ever having a celebration in like for the city of being like 215 years old?
No.
What about you, Chris? Does your city ever have a 215 year old anniversary?
I haven't lived here long enough to entice that, but I could see this town doing that.
Just 215?
Why not?
I was saying, because, you know, 200, 225.
250. Every, like,
250 220, maybe, 225, whatever gets the job done.
Like that, like 215, though, like that just that stuck out to me as being weird. I mean, it's dumb, but.
Well, especially since it's a fictional city, so they could have literally made it, you know. 250
actually,
years.
Actually, Metropolis is not fictional. It's fictionally. I've been to Metropolis, Illinois. You hear that sigh of disappointment?
Yeah.
We're all jealous.
No, actually.
No, he's disappointed.
My sigh is in the disappointment that he actually thinks it's a real place.
This Metropolis, not so much. Metropolis, Illinois actually is real.
Oh, yeah?
See? Yes, it's actually pretty cool.
See, that's the difference between, you know, Marvel and DC is Marvel, you know, has more real places.
Sure, but then you have to.
Oh, we're going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for stopping me, Chris. Thanks for stopping
me. I was like, no, I'm not that meme. That's bait.
Okay. So back to the book. Superman saves the plane.
In his street clothes. Everybody sees him.
I want to comment on the lack of distress that this pilot has. It's like, oh, hey, we're going down. Okay, good. Shit happens, I guess.
But look how old he is. He's probably just like, man, this is going to be kind of a cool way to go.
Lois Lane is on board and stops Clark before he can actually fly away. And so they kind of lock eyes and they see each other.
Lock eyes from across the bar. Oh.
Well, across the airport.
Nah.
Runway.
Yeah. Nope.
I know what you're talking about. That's a good one. And so Clark is, you know, sitting at the kitchen table saying that he's distressed because they all wanted a piece of him. So Jonathan has the idea of what they can do for Clark to basically have a life and still be a hero.
A full body leotard.
Basically, Ma, Martha sews a suit. She said that when he was younger, she noticed that any clothes that were tight on him would not cut. Any fabric would just be fine.
Almost like he had a force field around him.
Nice.
Thank you.
Different force field, but yes. And then he also had the idea for how Clark could be Clark and then have a separate identity to be Superman.
What if I just take my hair and...
Whips it back, pair of glasses, and bam, he's Clark Kent now. And then when he wants to be Superman, just he whips out that curl, takes glasses off, and there you go.
All right. I'd just like to also point out that Ma and Pa Kent also have the same exact pair of fucking glasses that Clark does, because apparently there was only one kind of frame back in 1986.
What happens with Crisis, you know, that was one of the ramifications everyone just has in Smallville.
I like it. But then we get the iconic Superman flying away. And that is actually the end of the issue. But before we actually end, I want to ask you two a question. Did you see anything in particular about this page?
About which page?
The one where he's flying off?
Yeah, the page where he's flying off. That last page of this first issue.
Well, gosh, there's someone in the barn there.
There you go.
Oh, hey, what do you know?
It's actually there was somebody at the, where was it? When Clark found the ship, too. They have that picture of a guy in a silhouette in the field. And it's been.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yep. Sure do. See, at first I thought that was just supposed to be his dad, and then I didn't realize why they were driving away.
Could be a scarecrow.
Could be.
But no, like, this is. I'm assuming that there is.
Muy importante.
We're not going to get the answer in this volume. I'm assuming in the, like, Superman and the Ventures and Action. It will get that eventually, but I do want to read, continue on. And now that we have time with quarantine, I probably will. So yeah. So we'll end the issue there with the mysterious figure in the back of the barn.
Bum, bum, it's, bum.
Surprise everyone. Sorry. It's me.
You son of awesome. A bitch.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to hear more of Chris, please check out the World's Finest True Believers podcast on all major podcasting apps. You can also find him on Twitter at Finest Believers. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Man of Steel story.